anything this morning? Yes, a couple? Yeah? Anybody not worry about anything this morning? Janice, I like it. I'm like, all right. Anybody worried I'm going to call you up? Yeah? All right. I heard one, yeah. Natalie, you want to come up and preach? No? The gospel says what? Be ready and willing to present the gospel at any time, right? As a pastor, I feel like it's my obligation to put that to the test sometime. Just saying. No? All right, no takers this morning. All right. I did prepare something. Okay. But we talked about worry last week, and reality is this. We're going to carry worry, but we talked about when we're in relationship with God, it's so much different when we live on the edge with God with worry than when God's at the center of our life and understanding we're solid ground and our worries can be evaporated because he loves us. And the spillage of that worry we know can be taken care of, right? When we're knocked around in life and the worry, some of us, I feel like we knocked around in life and you just fall down and we're ready to just crack and it's just done. I know in my life I've been there sometimes, right? But when you spend time with God and you express, this are my things that I'm worried about, you trust him. And we talked about when the cup is right here of worry versus the cup in the center with this giant post right here, and you know no matter what, even if I knocked it over, more than likely it would just stay on this table and those worries are spilled over onto God and he's got it, right? You know that he's bigger. It's when you live on the edge and you go, I don't think. You just live on that edge. First off, anybody ever been like on a 200-foot cliff and just with no railing and just look over? I'm getting sweats just thinking about it. Anybody like, no, I'm like 15 feet way back behind that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty sight down there, way down there. Anybody else like that? Yeah? I would say early young Ben was like, oh, my feet would be dangling over. This is awesome, right? And of course, like, my dad would come, whoo, one of those, right? Dad move, but, right? And I don't know, I think I've told this story. When I was 16, I decided that I went on my very first family vacation, and I did bungee jumping on that. It was 250 feet. And there was no holding me back. They counted 3, 2, 1. I thought, yeah, I trust this rubber band. I'm cool with it, right? And boing, boing, boing. It was awesome. Loved it. Loved it so much. I went again. Had no fear, right? As I've gotten older, just driving up to a bridge that you can see, I start to have the heat, the sweat going, are we going to make it? Am I going to pass out and hit the wall? Like, all these things start going through my mind, right? Like the doom of gloom of as I've gotten older, right? Spiritually, we talked about this last week of living that way and how unhealthy it is. And when you have God centered into it with all your worries, you understand and it puts it into perspective of what those worries really are. They're fleeting, right? So my hope this last week that you were able to give your worries to God, that the things that you were consumed with, that maybe you were frustrated with, or just outright nonstop thinking about, that God is in control of them, right? This week, we kind of added on to this. This is piggyback, noise. And what I thought I might do, this is something I've done with youth, and it's very, very odd, and even, just something that as a public speaker, you should never do. We're going to sit in silence for a couple seconds. That was about a minute. How did it feel to you, eternity? I got a couple coughs. Oh, I was holding it. Let's get those noises out of the way now, right? Woo! Does anybody else need to feel like I need a release? Woo, I don't know. Right? I will tell you, watching you was interesting. Anybody struggle? Anybody not like it? Right? Why do you think that is? Yeah? Yeah? What does silence do for us? Make you what? Sleepy? Nervous? Makes you think? What's that? You listen much better, right? If there was like a peep, everybody's like, I heard it. Heard that upstairs, Larry's moving. Right? When there's silence, it's easier to hear the pin drop. Right? We live in a world that's really noisy. Anybody ever just get in your car and not turn anything on and just roll your windows up and don't speak, just drive? Yeah? How about anybody else that's like, I have the radio on, I have the window down, and I have my phone in my hand, and I'm going? You get a couple, yeah? Yeah? All right? This week was a funny week. As I was preparing for this, I was behind somebody, and they were driving, and we were at a red light, and all of a sudden he started going, and you could tell this person was very distracted because they were veering right onto the curb, and there was no yank. There was just straight hit the curb, and then there was like, okay. And so I'm getting next to him. I'm like, all right, let's see what's going on. He still had his phone in his hand. Right? Well, I hit the curb. All right, we're good. That's just letting me know that it's there. Got to make my, you know, Candy Crush go. Right? Right? Anybody else? Anybody else? If nobody wants to admit it. I will tell you, as I was preparing this message, I live in this weird dichotomy, like, how dare they? Right? Oh, what's on Facebook? Well, I'm at a stop sign. Anybody else? Just me? Just me? It definitely puts me in the perspective, hey, don't judge, right? I definitely have to watch that. Now, if my wife's in the car, set a good example. Forgot you were here, right? Done those, right? My kids drive with the phone in their hand. I don't want them to be distracted at all, right? I want them to be paying attention to the road for their own sake, for everybody else's sake. I've been driving since I was 16. I feel like I've got it down. Anybody else? I think this is what we do with the noise in the world that we have. And also, I think what noise does for us is be able to ignore what we need to really face up to sometimes. Silence is the moment we come in reflection with our true selves and have to answer some questions. Silence enables us to slow down and listen to maybe what God has in store for us. You know, we read scripture and Moses had the burning bush. They're talking about the burning bush back in with the kids' wing, right? It's so cool. It didn't burn up. God spoke to Moses, told him what he needed to do. You know, God doesn't necessarily have those same kind of moments. He does. Maybe he does. I don't know it, but I know God has contacted you. I know God has reached out to you. I know God, many of you have told me, hey, I had this conversation with somebody, and I know it was such God-centered. Right? Imagine not taking the moment to recognize that. Imagine Moses was just so busy moving dirt around, and he's like, oh, that's weird. That's a fire, and just kept going. Slowing down, and even in that moment, God's voice said, hey, you're in a holy moment. Holy moment. Take your shoes off. Be in my presence. Know that I'm here. Let me speak. Can you imagine interrupting God? Hey, not right now. Don't want to hear it. Do Do you know I got this going on? I've got this going on. I got bills to pay. I got this garden needs to be tended to. I don't need to go back there. You know what's waiting for me, right? I can't handle that. Right? Anybody else? No? Just me? All right. Right? Noise is comfort for us. As weird as that sounds. I don't know about anybody else, but I have a fan on 24/7 while I'm sleeping. All seasons. I don't care how cold it is or how miserable Michelle will be. I want a fan on. And it's not even because I'm super hot, which I get really hot at night no matter what. It's not because of that. You know why it is? So I can just drown out all the rest of the noise in the world. That if somebody breaks into my house, I won't know it. Good husband material. Right? Like, I don't want to know, I don't want to hear creaks, I don't want to hear sounds, I don't want to wake up in the morning, and guess what? That fan does the trick for me. It silences everything else out in this world, and I love it. Right? It's noise that depletes everything around me. Can you imagine? I think we do this spiritually. I think we do. If you read James 1:19 says this, right? He says, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger." And I want to focus on the quick to listen. I don't know about you, but I got taught early on, listen means I don't get to open my mouth. Listen means these two things are engaged with what is speaking to me, right? I got that really early on age from my mom. When she would have something to say to me, and I had something to say back to her, especially when I thought I was right, or especially when I didn't want to do something and I wasn't listening to something, it was the tug of the ears and say, "Hey, no, pay attention. This is what's going to happen today." And she would spell it out. And it would, like, the hard part was I was not quick to listen. I was quick to, like, respond. And the same thing goes in marriage. I've realized, and I'm still realizing, I'm still working on this, that the faster I respond, the more of a doghouse I build. Anybody else? And the same goes with relationships outside of marriage, with friends. It is easy to go ahead and think, oh, this is what they think, this is what they do, this is how they act, this is what it means to me, and I'm going to respond in that. Instead of listening to what's going on, right? And I started thinking about this in terms of this, all right? And this is the scripture that I really want you to walk away with, is John 14-6 says this, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is weird, like, to go with this, but I think within this context it works so well, right? That we, when we listen to God and we listen to others and we're quick to listen and not speak, we have more of a tendency to show the way. We have a video that I want you to see.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. And a pastor came up and he said, "Listen, I can save you money." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket." And this did not sound, I said, "Gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me." He said, no, you gotta do it, you gotta do it." And against every better judgment I had, I said, "Okay." Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front, I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, "Should we pray?" He said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't." I said, "Well, this time we're gonna." And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway, the plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, "We're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out." I said, "Clouds make you do what?" Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, "Come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you." Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, "We're dead, aren't we?" I said, "There's a very good chance of that, yes." He said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know." But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, "Start asking for help." So he says, "Hello." And somebody answered back, "Hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?" And I said, "Give it to me." I said, "Tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot, and we don't know how to fly this plane." The guy said, "I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo." And he said, "You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?" I said, "Tell them that's correct." Now, you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, "The first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore." And he said, "I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you try to save your life." After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, "We understand you have a passed out pilot, and those of you do not know how to fly that plane." We said, "That's right." They said, "Well, the first thing we got to do is find you." And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, "My job is to get you home safe." He said, "That's my job." But he said, "Here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice." He said, "You can't see me, but I can see you." And he said, "If you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die." When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, "Okay, I found you. Now hear me clear." He said, "You're 4 minutes from a mountain." He said, "You're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice." I never said, "I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable?" You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned, and he said, "I'm freezing all the traffic in the area." He said, "It's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride." And he said, "I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice." He said, "If you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it." Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, "We're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key." They said, "Trust the voice." You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, "I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice." Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, "Now, I'm going to line you up." He said, "I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross." He said, "Don't you forget this. The cross is the way home." Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, "Stay with me. My sheep," the Bible says, "hear my voice and they follow me." Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, "Thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, they knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, "Hello, David." I said, "You're the voice. You're the one who got me home." He said, "I am." Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, "You were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home." If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, "I'm the one who has the voice." All I can remember is that voice saying, "Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through." Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
Check. All right, there we go. Is that better? All right. There's two perspectives I want us to understand with this story. Those who are at the helm of the plane, not knowing what they're doing, in clouds, panicked. And I love the fact that his first initial thing was to get on the radio and cry for help, which would probably be anybody's inclination, I hope. The same is so cool with how we are with God, that whatever we're going through, we can cry out for help. But imagine, through the crying out for help, we turn on the radio and a voice comes over, "I'm here to help," and we miss it. We're not paying attention to it. We're overwhelmed by the clouds. We're overwhelmed that there's a mountain coming that we don't even know, that we just are dreaming and imagining we're not going to make this. This storm is huge. This storm is scary. This, I can't fly this life. Live this life very well. How am I supposed to do this? And all these voices are going on in your head, and all these things are there. In the moment that God's voice is speaking, we miss it. We miss it. Silence in those moments, even after we cry for help, are huge. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, if you cry out for help, don't distract your heart. Don't distract your mind. Get in the Word of God. Allow God to search you, to speak to you, to be the voice that you need to hear. Be quick to listen. Right? There's another aspect of this story I want us to realize too. As a church, as a believer,
We are the ones in the air traffic control listening for those who need help. We can't just sit alongside and just run in this world and go, yeah, it's going to hell. Yeah, there's major issues. Man, I think God's coming back this century. It's got to be happening. And it's easy to be swallowed up by that thought, to live in that and be surrounded by that noise and forget about all the people that we are coming in encounter with that are yelling out, I need help. And we are not listening. What I loved is you imagine in the radio tower and hearing that call for the first time. Oh, I need help. My pilot is down. He's not healthy. He's not here. I don't know how to fly this thing. Can you go, oh, wait, let me go get somebody that can help you. Oh, wait, my shift is just about to end. Can you wait for Bob to get here? Right? I'm in the middle of lunch. Let me get back to you when I'm done with lunch. I got to take this phone call. Like, it's easy to be caught up in the world that we are around and forget that there's hell and heaven at stake for people. And that it's not about them going to hell. It's about them being rescued from hell for us. And if we're not listening, we're attributing to the problem. We are the voice of life. We are the way that points to Jesus. And if we're not a beacon for that, then we're not doing what God has called us to do. And I loved that his statement on there, if you do not listen to me, you will die. If you focus on the storms, you will die. Do everything I say, and you will live. I think a lot of us live just half life with God. We give a little portions, but are not fully ready to give everything. And we don't live the full life that God has intended us to live. This morning, give God the noise. Give God the noise in your life. The doubts, the worries, the frustrations, the voices that resonate. Allow God to embrace you and settle you down and know you're loved. Know that Jesus was sent for you to have a life that's bigger than the storms, bigger than the issues, bigger than the problems, that you will make it through him. But the key is to slow down and to listen first. Put down the phone. Spend time with your Creator, your Savior. This week, the challenge is this. I know I've already given you one challenge to be praying for those that are coming to Trunk or Treat, but also this is what I want you to be praying for this week, too. It is to slow down, trust God. To get rid of the noise that rattles through your soul. To allow God to be the way to real life for you. Maybe take a day or two free from all devices. Maybe take a day or two away from all social media. Maybe take a day or two to spend time with your Creator, your Master, the one that loves you the deepest, that knows you the greatest, right? To spend time listening for God's voice in your life. The second part of this challenge, too, is to be aware of your surroundings. To be like those in the air traffic control center, when people are crying out for help, that you show them the way to Jesus. What it means to really have life, to be the voice of love, to be the voice of mercy, to be the voice of grace for somebody. It is easy to work this life, to be part of this life, to go to work and just think of those people as just fellow employees, somebody that is just part of my life for 9 to 5, or you hear their frustrations, or you hear that they're frustrated with work. You know what this is an opportunity for you to show the way to Jesus, to love them with grace and mercy, to be the guiding post to life without noise. The challenge this week is to be uncomfortable in silence with God, to allow God to have his space in your life that he deserves. And I guarantee you that's going to take you some time to learn to listen and be quiet, to not speak, but to listen. Stand with me, church. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we search out your voice this week. I pray that we listen for you. Help us settle down in your presence. Lord, I pray that we listen for others who are crying out for help. I pray that we can help them lead them to you, that we can be the voice of hope, the voice of salvation, the voice that leads to you, that we can live out John 14:6, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives, dear Lord, and I pray that the voices in our head, the voices in our life that want control of us, I pray that they cease and we give full control over to you this week. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you all the praise. Be with us as we find a peace in your silence this week. Amen. You're dismissed.